are no longer slaves to sin. That is the beautiful outflow of the gospel. Hey, thanks for joining us here at the church at Suncoast. Take your Bibles and let's get into God's Word. By a show of hands, don't be afraid to put your hand up. By a show of hands, how many of you all out there are troublemakers? Keep them up. Don't be ashamed. In fact, we're not here to judge you. We're really here to applaud you. Steve, raise your hand up. I know you're a troublemaker. Oh, Steve's a, you can put your hand down now. Steve's a Marietta troublemaker. He's a real troublemaker out there. We're here to applaud you today because Jesus was a troublemaker. He could have avoided a lot of trouble if he had just done a few little moves. He made trouble with the scribes and Pharisees and walked into the teeth of the lion. We're going to look at a story today where he could have avoided easily any conflict with the scribes and Pharisees. You'll see the story in a minute, but he could have told those guys, don't pick the grain. He didn't restrain his men, and in not restraining his men, he communicated a lot to us. Jesus got in trouble for a number of different things, but I want you to know the number one thing that he got crucified for. Okay? He hung out with us, the reprobates. He hung out with us. He went to parties and all. He could have kept that on the sly, you know, kind of slid in the back door. He walked right in front of a house of tax collectors and happy to be there with them. He got in trouble for that, yes, and he got in trouble for this or that. But it was really the treatment of the Sabbath that got him in the hottest water. More than the treatment of the Sabbath was his attitude toward the Sabbath in relation to himself. It is the thing that the Jews would not, could not abide, and it is what got him on the cross. You see, what the Jews have in distinction from the other nations isn't circumcision. Several nations back then circumcised their young baby boys. It's not about the temple and worship at the temple. Pagans had their temples. But the one thing that the Jews had that all of the other nations did not have was the Sabbath, which was on a Saturday. It was their day of rest. But more than their day of rest, it was their day to worship God and not do anything but worship God. To the Jew, it wasn't one day and then they kind of rode out the other six, getting back around to the Sabbath. Man, they worshiped God on the Sabbath and rested, but it was an expression of the whole week. So in their minds, Jesus desecrated the Sabbath and then turns it, you'll see it in just a minute. I want to get ahead of myself. The Jews had 39 laws concerning the Sabbath. And out of those 39 laws or traditions, they had hundreds of little deviates, little paths they went down. It had relation to how much you could lift, how far you could walk. You could not prepare a meal. There's 1,000 things they couldn't do on the Sabbath. Jesus constantly violated them. Take a look at verse 1 of chapter 12 of the book of Matthew. Chapter 12, verse 1. Here comes the troublemaker. At that time, and I love the picture of this, I love the scene of this. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Good writer Matthew was. He gives us the situation and setting. He gives us the people. He gives you a feel of it, doesn't he? I can just see the bright blue sky. I can see the grain just waving in the wind. And here in these narrow rows, Jesus is out walking down through, and his men are with him. Not only are his men with him, there's an outer group of scribes and Pharisees now following him. You know, they hadn't always been aggressive and negative toward Jesus. At the beginning of his ministry, they were curious. In fact, Simon was a Pharisee who invited him over for dinner. That thing didn't go well. Had some woman come in and cry and weep on his feet, and it's just the whole thing went south. Jesus progressively made them more angry and angrier. And at this point, they were at the point watching every move he made. Now, it's important for you to know they were there, because the grain isn't going to be hardly in his hand, in their hands, before they say something. They weren't like on two fields away. They were there. Jesus knew they were there. The disciples knew they were there. And notice what happens. His disciples were hungry. I find it fascinating that the great rabbi in his poverty couldn't feed his own men. Isn't that interesting? Man, if I'm going to follow you, can we get some lunch? You know, can we stop by Bono's and get some ribs? I'm serving you. Can you help me with food? Jesus couldn't. Poverty of our Savior. So they're going through the grain fields, and they began to pluck ears of grain and to eat. At this moment, they have broken four of the Sabbath rules of the Pharisees. They have harvested, they rolled it in their hands, they threshed it. In order to get the grain out, they had to blow through it, they willowed it. And fourthly, they prepared a meal. In a matter of seconds, they broke all four of those Sabbath laws. Now notice how free the disciples were in the presence of Jesus Christ to make the Pharisees mad and break their laws. It tells you his attitude toward them and their attitude toward him. Jesus to his men and his men to Jesus. And then they felt free. They weren't bound. Jesus could have easily pulled them aside and said, fellas, they said, hold on, just wait until they just, you know, until we're alone, and then you can eat. Just wait an hour, okay? I'll get you behind the synagogue, and we'll eat then. Jesus looked over and said, me? Yeah. Didn't say anything. They just knew they were free. Do you know you're free as a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you know you're not judged by men? Some of you were afraid to raise your hand when I asked you if you were a troublemaker because you thought somebody would see you and judge you for that. Which kind of reveals you're not a true troublemaker. Because troublemakers don't care. But to the point, they were free and they knew it. He didn't restrain them. They felt free to break all those laws. And I can imagine a few of them were looking sideways at the Pharisees like, wouldn't you like to have some grain today? Well, verse 2, it said, but when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, they go right to Jesus, look, your disciples are, like he didn't know it. They needed to point it out. Pharisees always point things out that are the obvious, don't they? Always there to pick things apart. Always there to evaluate stuff. Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Notice how quick Jesus was to answer them. And he answers them with the Old Testament. He says, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? I love that approach, don't you? You know, you should never battle other Christians. But there's a healthy debate among believers. And the way to do it is never to share your opinion. It's always to share the scripture. Always say, well, what do the verses say? Or if they share an opinion, hey, I really want to learn, where's that verse? You'll stop a lot of arguments right there among Christians by just saying, where's that verse? This is how you do it in a healthy way, in a real good way. And Jesus says, have you never read what David did when he was hungry and those that were with him? Now, don't miss the picture here. You got David and you got the men that were with them. We're going to follow this analogy along. You got Jesus and you got his men. You got David and he's got men. Don't miss that or forget that. How he entered, notice, they didn't enter. He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, the show bread. We're going to find out what that is in a minute. We're going to put on our Jewish caps, and we're going to figure this out. To which it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest. Now, if we're going to understand what Jesus is talking about, we're going to have to go back into the Old Testament. So go to 1 Samuel with me. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. I love for you to labor to find it like I'm finding it, but if you just don't want to do it, you can look at the screen behind me. 1 Samuel chapter 21, and let me tell you the story up to the verse 3. I'll just kind of paraphrase it for you. David at this point was not the king. That's important for you to know. If Jesus is going to give them these men a story and relate it to what he's doing, you need to know that at this point, David was not the king. David was running from the king. He was in trouble with Saul, and he was running for his life, and he and his men had gotten hungry, and they show up at this place of worship, and they find a priest there, and they find these loaves there. They were swapped out periodically. You'll find in a minute there were five of them. Let's look at chapter 21, verse 3, and we'll pick it up there. When David comes in, the priest asks him, "Are you alone?" And he says this, "No, I'm not alone. The men are outside. They're waiting for me." So David is dealing directly with the priest at this point. He says in verse 3, "Now then, what do you have on hand? We're hungry." Verse 3 goes on, "Give me five loaves of bread or whatever is here." And the priest answered David and said, "I have no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread." Now, what is holy bread? It is called show bread in the Old Testament, and it is bread that is brought in to present before the Lord. And it's brought in hot, and it's brought in fresh, and it's there for a certain amount of time. And then when it's swapped out, only the priest could eat of that bread. A common man, a non-priest, couldn't touch this stuff. Okay? It's unholy to him. He couldn't touch it. And the priest answered, "I have no common bread, but there is holy bread if the young men have kept themselves from women." That's an interesting thing for the priest to say. Are they pure? Have they kept themselves? They can have, the priest was willing to hand over the loaves of bread as long as these men have not become impure with women. Are they morally upright? Notice how Jesus responds. David answered the priest, "Truly women have been kept from us, as always when we are on an expedition." Notice what he says further. "The vessels of the young men are holy even when they are on an ordinary journey." We're on a holy expedition here. Yeah, they're pure, but David makes sure, even on an ordinary day, these guys are pure. That's a beautiful thing to say. Now let's relate, before we finish out, don't turn away from 1 Samuel. How does this relate to David? Well, if he's relating himself to David, then these men that are with him, he's saying they're not only pure on special days, they're in my presence, they're always pure. I love that, don't you? A person that's born again and saved, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is pure, holy, because Christ has made them holy. Those Pharisees and scribes out there that want to judge you and judge them, they have no firm footing for that because we are holy and pure. David said, "The men that are with me are pure always." Jesus says, "The disciples around me are pure always." See the setting? Let's go back to 1 Samuel and let's finish. Look at verse 5. "Hathaway, truly the men, the vessels of the young men are holy, even as they are in ordinary vessels. How much more will their vessels be holy?" So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, the show bread, which is removed from before the Lord. to be replaced by hot bread on the day that it is taken away. David asked for 5 loaves. I like that. You know, the number 5 in the Bible is the number for grace. He asked for the priest to give him grace. His men were not with him. They were apart from him. They were outside. He was dealing with the priest head on. And Jesus is dealing with the Pharisees head on for his men. This is what he meant by that illustration. Now go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus has more to say to the scribes and Pharisees that stood before him that day. He gives another analogy. Notice verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? Well, how does that happen? He's saying on the Sabbath day, the priests profane the Sabbath. If you're going to sacrifice a lamb, it means work. Anything in the temple as the priests do on the Sabbath day is work itself. You don't hold them guilty. Now, I want you to notice what he's saying about himself, because the thing that got him all riled up is this very thing of how he positioned himself as an authority over the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the priests are working. You don't hold them guilty. In other words, I'm working. I'm a priest. You can't hold me guilty. But he goes on even more. Look at verse 6. I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. Something that is outside the walls of your Jewish temple understanding is here. I am here. I am the very temple of God itself. I move and walk, and wherever I am, watch this, wherever I am, it is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a day. It is the person of Jesus Christ every day. Let me tell you why. In essence, Jesus not only broke all the rules, he actually broke the scripture. You remember the manna. Remember the manna? How many days did the manna fall? 6 days. What were they to do on the 6th day? They were to collect twice as much. Why were they told to collect twice as much? So they could eat on the 7th day. It was the only day of the week that the manna maintained itself beyond 24 hours. If they tried to pull that off on any other day, it rotted. God was very serious about not collecting or working or harvesting grain or willowing or making a meal on the 7th day. And here's Jesus throwing all that out. On the 7th day, on Saturday, let my men work. Why would he profane the Sabbath, the 7th day that he himself made holy? Because he was there to institute the truth that all of life to the Christian is the Sabbath day. The Seventh-day Adventists are wrong. There is no holy day. Sunday's not a holy day. Monday's a holy day. Tuesday's a holy day. Wednesday's a holy day. Every day. Now, Sunday's what the believers have chosen because the Lord rose on the seventh. Our 7th day is Sunday. That's why we meet together, because Christ rose from the dead on the 7th day, not on the 6th day. But Sunday's not this holy, special day. Every day is special. Notice how he ends it. And if you had known what this means, boy, you guys are just, you guys that are so biblically accurate, you missed it. You really didn't get the meaning of this verse. Does Jesus walk into the teeth of the lion? You see him shying away and trying to compromise with these men? Do you see him kind of going, you know, let's make happy together. Let's be friends. No, he stood for truth because he had those 12 men behind him. And he would have his disciples to be free. We all know what it's like to be in religious bondage to others. I think most of us, if we've been to church at any given amount of time, knows what it means to be under the thumb and opinions of men. I'm here to tell you we're free in Jesus Christ. And the freedom that we have, Paul tells the Galatians, not for a second compromise that to the bondage of men, not one second. We are free in Christ to live out our days glorifying Him and not being under any religious structure of men. I've had my taste of that over the years. And I hear preaching that is law-based and bondage-based, and my spirit begins to close down. I can't get that radio off fast enough. Jesus, now notice, this is what gets him crucified. This is the anvil. Verse 7. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I don't care what you do. What matters is the mercy you receive. You would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man, this is it, are you ready? This is where it all goes south. This is where the hair on the arm of the Pharisee goes up. This is where he throws his head back and in his heart says, this man must die. It says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. He is the Lord of rest. Now we gather as a church, but we've served Jesus Christ. He is to be our rest every day. Every moment of our lives is a Sabbath rest. We don't wait for Sunday to get happy. You know. Sister so-and-so raises her hands and somebody says, oh, she's getting happy today. Susan was in a church one time and she got happy. And she started standing up and raising her hand. She realized she went like this. She said, oh, they won't understand it if I get happy right now. And Susan, you're in a place you can get happy. But the great thing is, we can get happy 7 days a week wherever we are, all over the place. We can be happy out of that fishing boat. We can be happy at work. We can be happy we can be happy at school. We can be happy in the worst day of our lives because God gives us inward Sabbath rest. And when everything around us is going nuts, we are at peace and Sabbath with our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll give you three things and we'll finish it. Number one, our Sabbath rest is not a day. It's not on Sunday. I grew up at a time where the whole town shut down on Sunday. And that's not a bad idea. I wish they still did it. I wish no businesses opened on, you know. Christians might condemn people for working on Sunday, but you're going to go out and eat this afternoon, aren't we, somewhere? Somebody's got to serve your table. Let's not be hypocritical about the whole thing. Yeah, but the Pharisee just judging every move, you know. Sabbath is not a day. It's not Saturday for the Jews. Well, it still is Saturday for the Jews, but for us, it's not Sunday. It's Monday. It's every day because our Sabbath is Jesus Christ. Number two, our Sabbath rest has been expanded to 7 full days. The Lord said, I am Lord of the Sabbath. Do you know when we leave, he leaves here? He doesn't hang out. I come here and work during the week, sits down here. Craig and Sandy are down here. It's a building. And he's here. And before we show up, he's like hovering around. We bring him with us. And when we leave, we take him with us. And we're not any closer in 2 hours from now we're over the house. We might be closer during our nap this afternoon. I feel closer to God when I'm sleeping. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we take him with us. When we're good, when we're bad, when we're in between, he's there always with us. I was not at my best last night. Got home from that trip and I was tired. And I said some things to Karen that I knew I shouldn't say. that if I was more rested, my brain would have said, don't say that, stupid. Don't say that, dummy. Anyway, it's good to have rest, isn't it? It's good to have Sabbath rest, peace, expanded to every day. Today's not holy. Do you know that? Sunday's the holy day. It's not the holy day. We are holy. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit right here. This is what's precious, what he has done in our lives. Number three, his rest frees us from the bondage that men will always try to lay upon you. Men will always put their finger on you. They'll always try to get you in their loop. They'll always try to manipulate. Men, especially the religious crowd, is the absolute worst about it. We had fun driving back. You know, the enjoyment wasn't just being up there. It was the trip up and the trip back. And we all talked about the old days with how churches used to be and how some churches still are and how manipulative it all is and the bondage that men place upon men, and we're so glad we're free from all that. How many of y'all are going to be on visitation this Tuesday? Shame on you. Steve, you going to be there? Every day's visitation. Why did I make it a Tuesday?
Because that's when we go on visitation. You better be here. Better make sure your wife's here too.
See, it's wrong. The bondage that men place upon us, we are absolutely free from. Free to worship him. Free to please him. There's only one opinion that I really care about, and it's Jesus' opinion of me. And I already know what it is. How about that? I already know he's for me. I already know he's not against me. And if I get hungry, I'm going to pick some grain and I'm going to roll it between my fingers and I'm going to thresh it and I'm going to willow it and I'm going to make me a meal and I'm going to enjoy it in his presence. Live life. Enjoy him. Almost sounds like a sin to be happy in Jesus, doesn't it? Yeah, you're more spiritual when you're miserable. You know that, don't you? God's behind every tree ready to jump out and beat you in the head for something wrong you did and said. He's just all over you. I got to a point at my old church. I remember I used to volunteer for the parking lot duty every Sunday, every service, because I had more fun out there than I was having in here. I thought to myself, you know what? My boss beats me down. My wife, no, she doesn't beat me down. My boss beats me down. I have all these expectations at home. I've got all these pressures from here. And then I go down to the church and they ask me why I'm sitting on my do-nothings. That was always a great phrase. You know, you need to get off your do-nothings and do something. God didn't save you to sit in a pew. God. I thought, liberate me, man. Free me from that. The one place I ought to be free and growing in grace, and it was the same thing. It was just weighing me down. And I'll tell you, the rest that he gives frees us from the bondage of men. It's a good gospel for us troublemakers, isn't it? Us rebels. You know, us troublemakers, you roll that grain and you hold it to your mouth and then just look at that Pharisee. Just say, isn't it good, isn't it? It's good, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to be eating some grain right now? Don't be too much of a troublemaker. Christ died to give us life. And in that life, there is the freedom to walk every day and his presence gives us peace and rest, and that's a beautiful thing. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know Christ today, he calls you to that Sabbath rest, not to a Sunday or to a Saturday or to a religious structure, but he calls us unto him. Because he said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. No man will do this for you. Only Christ will give you rest. and you can't put your finger on and figure that thing out, the rest is inside of you. And you know it, don't you? You know it when he gives you rest. Jesus, we pray today for anyone here today who's never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they would understand that this thing is not about a building or a day or a religion. It is about Jesus Christ and the freedom and the liberty and the forgiveness and the blood and the redemption that has been wrought on the cross, has been worked out on the cross for our benefit. And we know and are confident that every promise you've made to us is yes and amen. And that your opinion of us, once we come to know Jesus Christ, is one of love and compassion, and who allows us freedom and expression of our worship that is free from guilt. Free from guilt. Lord, I pray for anyone here who's been condemned by others. I pray for anyone here who is condemning themselves, that the guilt that they're experiencing, they would see as wasteful and useless and something that you do not want, that you died to release us from. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day. I pray as we worship in song that if anyone needs to make decisions, that they would come down to the front or see us. But today, before they leave, they'd call on Christ to save them. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, thanks for joining us today at the Church at Suncoast. We pray that the message was a blessing to you. If we can be of any help, don't hesitate to contact the church on our Facebook page or at suncoastjacks.org. If you are in the listening area, we'd love to have you attend any of our services. We hope you have a great day, and we'll see you next time.